Chapter 14. Self-Hatred and Human Potential.
Of course we love ourselves. How can a person hate himself or herself?
Buddhist philosophy has a well-entrenched methodology for dealing with hatred and anger that is directed outward. But the idea of self-hatred, of hatred turned inward, was astonishing to the Dalai Lama when he first heard of it. In fact, he only learned of the existence of self-hatred and its prevalence in Western culture during a conference with a group of Western scientists and psychologists held at his home in Dharamsala in 1991. As he became more familiar with the concept, he began to see ways in which the Buddhist doctrine could help one counteract this punishing impulse.
When these people began speaking about self-hatred, at first I wasn't certain if I was understanding the concept correctly. Although I thought that I had some understanding of how the mind works, this ideal of hating oneself was completely new to me. The reason why I found it quite so unbelievable is that, as practicing Buddhists, we are working very hard in trying to overcome our self-centered attitude, our selfish thoughts and motives. From this viewpoint, I think we love and cherish ourselves too much. So to think of this possibility of someone hating themselves was quite unbelievable. From the Buddhist point of view, being in a depressed state, in a state of discouragement, is seen as a kind of an extreme, which can clearly be an obstacle to taking the steps necessary to accomplish one's goals. A state of self-hatred is even far more extreme than simply being discouraged, and this can be very, very dangerous. For those engaged in Buddhist practice, the antidote to self-hatred would be to reflect upon the fact that all beings, including oneself, have Buddha nature, the seed or potential for perfection. Full enlightenment, no matter how weak or poor or deprived one's present situation may be. So those who suffer from self-hatred or self-loathing should avoid contemplating the suffering nature of existence or the underlying unsatisfactory nature of existence, and instead they should concentrate more on the positive aspects of their existence, such as appreciating the tremendous potential that lies within oneself as a human being. And by reflecting on these opportunities and potentials, they will be able to increase their sense of worth and confidence in themselves. We are gifted human beings with this wonderful human intelligence. On top of that, all human beings have the capacity to be very determined and to direct that strong sense of determination in whatever direction they would like to use it. There is no doubt of this. So, if one maintains an awareness of these potentials and reminds oneself of them repeatedly until it becomes part of one's customary way of perceiving human beings, including oneself, then this could serve to help reduce feelings of discouragement, helplessness, and self-contempt. I think there might be some sort of parallel to the way we treat physical illness. When doctors treat someone for a specific illness, not only do they give antibiotics for the specific condition, but they also make sure that the person's underlying physical condition is such that he or she can take antibiotics and tolerate it. So, in order to ensure that, the doctors make sure, for instance, that the person is generally well-nourished, and often they may also have to give vitamins or whatever to build the body. So long as the person has that underlying strength in his or her body, then there is the potential or capacity within the body to heal itself from the illness through medication. Similarly, so long as we know and maintain an awareness that we have this marvelous gift of human intelligence and a capacity to develop determination and use it in positive ways, in some sense, we have this underlying mental health. an underlying strength that comes from realizing we have this great human potential. This realization can act as a sort of built-in mechanism which allows us to deal with any difficulty, no matter what situation we are facing, without losing hope or sinking into self-hatred.
There is a popular notion in our culture, shared by many contemporary psychotherapists, that self-hatred is rampant within our society. And since we tend to view the world from the perspective of our own cultures, this has led to the assumption that it is a widespread human problem, possibly even an ingrained feature of the human psyche. But the very fact that the Dalai Lama was completely unaware of the very existence of self-hatred until fairly recently, and that it may be virtually unheard of in entire cultures, strongly reminds us that this troubling mental state, like all of the other negative states we have considered, is not an intrinsic part of the human mind. It is not something we are born with, irrevocably saddled with, nor is it an indelible characteristic of our nature. This realization alone can serve to weaken its power, give us hope, and increase our commitment to eliminate it. When first hearing of the concept of self-hatred, the Dalai Lama's initial reaction was, "Hate oneself? Of course we love ourselves." For those who suffer from low self-esteem or self-hatred, or know someone who does, this response may seem incredibly naive at first glance. But on closer investigation, there may be a penetrating truth in his response. Love is difficult to define, and there may be many different definitions. But one definition of love, and perhaps the most pure and exalted kind of love, is an utter, absolute, and unqualified wish for the happiness of another individual. A heartfelt wish for the other's happiness regardless of whether he does something to injure us, or even whether we like him. Now, deep in our hearts, there's no question that every one of us wants to be happy. So, if our definition of love is based on a genuine wish for someone's happiness, then each of us does, in fact, love himself or herself. Every one of us sincerely wishes for his or her own happiness. So perhaps the Dalai Lama was not far off the mark in his belief that all of us have this underlying self-love. And this idea suggests a powerful antidote to self-hatred. We can directly counteract thoughts of self-contempt by reminding ourselves that no matter how much we may dislike some of our characteristics, underneath it all, we wish ourselves to be happy. And that is a profound kind of love.